Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time. This is the place. Do give us a call at 576-7710. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. It's a beautiful morning today. We've got lots of topics. We have room for more topics, including yours. Give us a call. 576-7710 is the number to call. If you're calling long distance like our last caller did, you would dial, if you were calling from across the pond, a bunch of numbers. But if you're calling in the continental United States, it would be 816, then 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk, with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple.
And thank you, Alan, for being here in Michael Zedek's stead. Michael will be back with us next Sunday. So I wanted to bring up just a couple more topics. Last week, we didn't really get enough time to emphasize this, and I want to, in the studio, with the throngs of people in our studio audience, they can see, as well as John and Alan, the cover of the New Yorker. And it's got a little kid blowing a trumpet, and I think the title, which they're always very curious, the title of the New Yorker covers is called Second Line. And Second Line, in the traditions of New Orleans jazz music, is the music that's played from the cemetery back to home. So you leave from usually a church, but some other venue where the deceased has been honored and celebrated, and there's a slow, truly funereal, dirge-like pace and sound to the cemetery. Then once the person has been buried, then there's a second line, first being on the way to, but the second line is jubilant and absolutely celebratory. And this, Malcolm Gladwell, very good observer of human behavior and also American culture, has written about what happened to New Orleans after Katrina. And that's what this, much of this issue of the New Yorker, the August 24th issue, was about. And there was a lot of activity that took place in Kansas City to help people who were evacuees from the New Orleans area. And I'll never forget Eric Morgenstern and a bunch of people putting together a benefit concert at Starlight. And were you here in 2005?
No.
It was an interfaith endeavor. There were Catholics, there were Protestants, Jews, Muslims, Sikhs, Hindus. Everybody came together, raised, I believe, $650,000. Now, that was aided by $500,000 donation from the Kauffman Foundation. But this went to an organization called the Mid-America Assistance Coalition that helped people that came from New Orleans to Kansas City. And then other places all around the country. We need to remember that moment, as harrowing as it was, and the recovery that's taken place. Did you know that there's more restaurants, John, Alan, in New Orleans now than there was pre-Katrina? More restaurants, and that's hard to imagine. So much good food. Also, the crisis in refugees all across the continent of Europe and the Pope had given out the Vatican is going to take in two families, and he has charged every religious institution that's Catholic in nature to welcome at least one family that is part of this refugee crisis all across the face of Europe. Spilling out, is it mostly from Syria and or Iraq, but mostly from Syria?
Because of the really disintegration of Syria and the civil wars that are taking place. It's it's impossible to live there. But look, I mean, Iraq is part of it. Even Afghanistan is part of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to comprehend the horrific conditions that these people are under, and when you see them in between countries and not mm-hmm. being able to make transit and having been running out of money and not having food, and it's like the World War II all over again. And I think as we are, America, United States is such a moral people of great moral courage and moral sensitivity. And I hope this really becomes more prominent part of our national discussion, because we just can't talk about trying to heal the world when you don't try to heal people and to deal with their individual needs.
Mm-hmm.
I just think this is a tremendous crisis, and I'm praying that it becomes more part of our national discussion, both in the religious communities mm-hmm. and the political world, because it's such an urgent issue.
Mm-hmm. One last topic to consider. Did you hear about the Villa Rica? I think that I'm saying that correctly. Area, a city of 4,000 west of Atlanta, posted a video earlier in August about how a crowd of people was watching as players and a coach were submerged one by one during a baptism ceremony on the playing field, I think, of the high school. To me, a clear violation of the separation of church and state. What shall we do about that? I don't know what you can do except prevent it from happening in the future. I don't think that anybody needs to be sued or anything or locked up, but that that kind of thing really shouldn't take place on taxpayer-funded public property. So anyway, we've got Mike. Mike, you've got religion on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. I earlier heard Rabbi Lundy comment that he thought the same-sex marriage would be good for society, and I'm a little confused about that, what evidence, but let me say something first. When I was hearing about this woman in Kentucky, then they interviewed some people on the street, and one person who was against the woman's position said she's got her idea of tradition and we've got ours. And I'm sitting there, is that not an example of a progressive society or a postmodern society where tradition doesn't have a meaning on its own? It just depends on what I think it is. Because obviously you have your truth and I have mine. Now, it's the same thing with marriage. You have your idea of marriage. I have mine, although it's always had a meaning to it. Now we want to do away with the meaning. Now, as for it being good with society, for society, we started experimenting with marriage in the early 70s with the sexual revolution and shacking up together. Sex no longer was supposed to be in marriage. Now, I know not everybody followed that, but there was a general consensus that a girl shouldn't be getting pregnant in high school out of marriage, and there was forced marriages. Well, since then, the highest growing group of in poverty have been single women, single mothers, and the highest incarceration is boys that grow up without fathers. And now we're going to have a situation where you'll have not only that, but we'll have marriages between two men, and there will be a legalization of adoption nationwide for that, too, because it only follows. And so you're saying we're going to approve of marriage that starts off without any hope of having, two women having a father. So this confusion, you're throwing out absolutes. Complete freedom, a synonym of complete freedom would be chaos or anarchy. If you don't have some sort of control, that's the direction you go. Now, I'm also interested, we have Oak Park had a transvestite or transgender, I call it gender confused, either prom queen or homecoming queen, I forget which. Then some guy, and I don't remember where, 17 years old, won the right to go to the girls' bathroom because since he was in ninth grade, he thought he's a woman. And I can't help but look at, I think it's Deuteronomy 22, where it talks about the woman who puts on men's clothing and the man who puts on woman's clothing, that's abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And so we're one more thing now. Of course, the country's secular. We don't need to believe in the Bible. But I do find it interesting, a lot of things that are biblical and now are laughed at, and we're going the opposite direction.
Well, Mike, on the issue of the children, children have a right to a mother and a father, and that's what same-sex marriage does. It denies the child the right to a mother and a father. And in our church, we've been shut down because we refuse, Catholic Charities has refused to place children with couples who are not traditionally married between a man and a woman. And so we've been forced out of the adoption business in a number of states.
Now, also, when people keep saying the law of the land, well, first of all, the courts are not supposed to be legislatures making laws. Now, if they can find a law that already exists that's not being upheld, then they reinforce that. But the equal protection of the law was the same for everybody. So there's no question of that. They can twist it around. You can always, if you want to support your position, you can always twist things around a little bit. Now, the states always had the rights, and if they wanted to have same-sex marriage, the states have that constitutional right to do it for themselves. And most of the states that have had it, it's been a court decision. Am I not making any sense at all?
No, I agree with you 100%.
Well, that's dangerous.
Well, 98, how's that?
I just don't believe it's good. You know, the country, especially Scandinavia, where they already have same-sex marriage, marriages decrease in number, because when you make something can be anything, it becomes less significant. If the color blue can also be a pink and be a green and all that, it loses its meaning. So it loses its significance. Anything, something can be anything, then it's really nothing.
Well, you especially pointed out that young men who don't have fathers in the family end up incarcerated at a much higher rate. And if you don't have that objective father disciplined figure in the home, then society or their police are gonna have to do that job. And now we find that even the society and the police are afraid to do the job.
Okay.
And so we just have cities now that are erupting in just chaos.
Our experimentation with the traditional idea of marriage, especially since the early 70s, late 60s, has not proved to be a benefit for us.
We hear that loud and clear, and that was a good summation of your view and your position. A question about, we've not talked about this, but there's other reasons for people being, and I have a personal stake in this, there's other reasons for being part of a single head of household, whether it be male or female, and that's divorce. And I don't hear you, Mike, in any way, shape, or form saying that divorce should be outlawed, should it?
Well, it's hard to outlaw divorce if you unless you outlaw marriage, then you can get rid of divorce also. I did comment on that. I said, when I said you start experimenting with marriage, you know, after the wars, you always have an increase in divorce with returning soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Then after Korea, the divorce rate was started to go back down. And then we had Vietnam, and it went up, and then it started going back down. And then the sexual revolution came along, and divorce increased again. Of course, they solved that problem just by never getting married.
Yeah, that sociologist would say that now, I think.
Now, that reasoning that should you outlaw divorce...
There wasn't reasoning. It was a question. I'm sorry, but question.
I don't think you should have no-fault divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should determine who's responsible for breaking the commitment and pay for it, especially when the other person's made an investment in that commitment.
Okay. All right. And anyway, so, Alan, did you want to say anything else?
Yeah.
I think we're way past the break. Okay. Sorry. Hold on, Mike, and we're going to be with
you. No, you can talk and discuss it.
Okay. All right.
I've talked too much already.
All right. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710.
We are Talk Radio, KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
When September rolls around in the U.S., it's back into the groove. Back to school, back to the office, after summer vacations. In school and beyond, how do you do your best without stress? Guests share their illuminating experiences on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, Sunday morning at 8:30 on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
The economy still matters, and it can either be boon or bane to your investments. This is portfolio manager Chris Butler with Butler, Lands, and Wagler and host of the Capitalist Pig Show, heard every Saturday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. The economy is always oscillating between periods of boom and bust, and that's as true today as it was 100 years ago. At Butler, Lands, and Wagler, we provide you with the best chance to navigate our ever-changing economy by stacking the odds of success in your favor. We do that by investing with the trends, which are themselves reflective of our economy. The biggest difference between us and other financial advisors is that when the environment changes, so do we. This value-added approach gives you peace of mind, regardless what the economy and markets give us. You can learn more by downloading our free report at investontrack.com or giving us a call at 913-696-1919. That's investontrack.com and 913-696-1919.
In this kingdom, we all have a job to do.
All right. Tonight we play assignment football. Just do your job. Like Coach said, we don't want to leave this field and regret anything tonight. So when we get on this field, we'll leave it all out.
You heard the man. It's time to go to work.
Family on three. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Let's go, man.
This is Chiefs Kingdom.
Tickets available at Chiefs.com.
In this kingdom, there's more to our game plan than X's and O's.
Run this now, huh? Come on, let's go. Let's keep it going, fellas. Keep it going.
And it's not something you'll find in any playbook.
Play together, play for each other. Let's go. Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
All right, AD. All right,
that's the end of the game. Kansas City with guts and grit and grind.
This is Chiefs Kingdom.
Tickets available at Chiefs.com.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
Hepatitis C affects millions of Americans, but most people don't know they have the virus, and that can be deadly because hepatitis C is a leading cause of liver cancer. St. Luke's wants to help protect you. During September and October, you can get a simple finger prick blood test that will tell whether you have the hepatitis C virus. This screening is available at St. Luke's Hospital of Kansas City. For more information, visit stlukeskc.org/hepc. That's stlukeskc.org/hepc.
Talk in Kansas City. KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM. This is the time. This is the place. Do give us a call. 576-7710. We're very grateful for you allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. 576-7710 here at Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, the Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, along with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple.
And thank you, Rabbi Londi, for being here in the stead of Rabbi Zedek, and he will be back with us next week. We've got a very short segment here, but we do want to get to this caller very quick, our Cracker Jack producer, Rick. By the way, you want to talk about somebody who has an FM voice. Rick has a that stereotypical FM voice, and probably was a voice at long time ago on radio. But we're very grateful, Rick, for your
presence.
Well,
not that long ago.
Not that long a time ago, he says. Very good. Here's Doug. Doug, you've got religion on the line.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I'd like to speak to this issue on what's going on in Kentucky. Years ago, a few years back, the U.S. Supreme Court threw out the national DOMA law, and they said that each state may and must enact their own laws on the defense of marriage. Now, with this new ruling, they are saying that each state may not pass their own laws. So, I mean, you know, it's a contradictory...
So they kind of superseded themselves, right?
Yeah. Now, the clerk that's in jail, she was going on what the Supreme Court ruled originally. And now she finds herself in violation of the second ruling, which is contradictory.
And I think the state law in Kentucky defined marriage between a man and a woman, and she was elected by the people of Kentucky, and so she cannot be removed from office unless the citizens remove her. And so let's say somehow she's removed, and then she runs again, and the people elect her again. What happens then to the constitutional rights of the people to elect people who believe in the same definition of marriage as she believes in?
You know, we've been down this road before many, many times, Doug, that where the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution in a new way, in new light, and renders a different judgment. Plessy Ferguson gets overturned, and therefore the civil rights of black people are expanded and fully enfranchised.
It doesn't have anything to do with race.
I'm giving a parallel in terms of what you were suggesting about the court ruled one way and then it ruled another way. I just said it was a parallel. I didn't say it had a connection. Although,
well,
anyway.
Actually, they ruled contradictory. And
well, so was Plessy versus... that's what I'm saying is that the court sometimes seems to contradict itself as it corrects itself.
Did it correct itself? The people of the United States do not want homosexual marriage. Each law is being overturned by one unelected one unelected judge. He's an appointed judge. The federal laws are, or the federal courts are appointed.
Yeah.
So an unelected person is changing the law for the whole state. That is not constitutional.
Well, the whole country, too, and the ripple effect is that people who don't agree with the law are going to have that law shoved down their throats, and their religious freedom is going to be denied.
Insofar as they engage in public commerce and also public elected positions or even public officials who are appointed, they will have to uphold the law of the land. I know...
Why did the Supreme Court not uphold the law of the land in their decision 5-4? That's the point here.
Well, they were interpreting that the law of the land is a new thing now, John.
No, I think the issue is twofold. It's our vision of what the Constitution is. From my vantage point, what makes our country so vibrant and why we are surviving as a democracy is that we have a living constitution where we hold on to tradition, but we have the ability to legislate and for the justices to interpret for a new world, for a new reality. And when the
you know what, John, Doug, can you hold on just a minute?
I sure can.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll get back to concluding this conversation, but we need to take a break and pay some bills, okay? Hold on. And we're going to be right back, and thank you for filling up the board. If you have a little problem getting in, keep on calling 576-7710.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a...
CBS News Update. Thousands of migrants and refugees today arriving in Western Europe by bus and train. CBS's Charlie Daggett is at the Vienna train station.
They're not staying here for long. Most of the migrants that we've spoken to want to travel onwards to Germany. But as we saw at the border and as we're seeing now this morning in Vienna, they are being welcomed with food and drink. There are people that are providing themselves as translators.
Pope Francis today appealed to parishes throughout Europe to shelter migrants.
This is a call from the Pope across Europe to personally get involved. It is a sort of responsibility for those who are of the Catholic Church to take in these migrants where they can.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is planning to discuss the crisis with her European coalition partners. German officials have been upset with Hungary for encouraging migrants to continue traveling westward. CBS News Update. I'm Gary Nunn.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Don't expect a break from the heat over the next 24 hours. Skies will stay pretty fair tonight, though. Southerly winds at 8 to 12 miles per hour. The low temperature early Sunday morning drops to 74 degrees. It's back to the heat on Sunday. Partly cloudy skies. Most of those clouds will be developing and moving in late in the day. Slim, slim chance for an isolated shower very late in the day. Southerly winds at about 8 to 12. The daytime high Sunday climbing to 93. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Gary Amble.
Here's an idea I've been throwing around.
Okay.
We're just thinking out loud here.
Thinking out loud.
We've made some changes recently.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
And you've responded in a big way.
That's a good point, too. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get.
We're fine-tuning the lineup.
I actually kind of suggested that.
Carson in the Morning is now on 6 till 10.
It may have already happened.
Followed by Steve Sutton, 10 till noon.
Wow, this is just too much.
Greg Knapp still brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
That kind of talk is what gets everybody going.
This is KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM and AM 710.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself, so you can save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE, or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
It does not, at this point, look like anything's going to happen, so it might be time to measure the president and what is to be done.
John Batchelor, weeknights 9 till midnight on KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, thank you very much for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning, this beautiful Sunday morning in the heart of the country. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
And we're grateful, Rabbi Londy, for you subbing for Michael Zedek. We'll be back with us next week. Just want to give another little shout-out to the Reverend Shanna Stites, who will be installed as the newest senior minister at Community Christian Church in Kansas City, Mo. Just a point of personal privilege to celebrate that event today at 10:30 at 4601 Main Street.
You're going to be there, right?
No, I won't be there. No, I can't be there today. But we'll be there in spirit, absolutely, and in support and celebration. Wonderful leader. And
this is your successor, right?
That's right. That's right. And glad that Community Christian Church had such wisdom in choosing such a stellar person. Any rate, we've been talking to Doug. Doug. Hello, Doug.
Yes, sir.
What else can we say, or do you want to respond to what Rabbi Londy said?
Well, my response generally is the one judge overthrew a law that was deemed constitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court and imposed his own law on that state.
Wouldn't that be true in any 5-4 decision that you could say a judge did that and there are other rulings, so you might want to call into question all of the Supreme Court's Supreme Court decisions? Is that right?
I don't believe we're going that far. We are speaking specifically on this case. Specifically, one judge imposed his will on the state of Kentucky and threw unconstitutionally, without benefit of trial, threw a lady in jail for it.
Because she refused to uphold the law of the land. And
no,
that would happen again if there was an agreed-upon situation where somebody violated a ruling that the Supreme Court said had been settled and done, and they violated that, they would be similarly incarcerated, I think.
Well, there's a judge in Oregon who has refused to do any marriages at all, and now we have bakers who refuse to do wedding cakes. So if you don't believe, or if you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, you're going to be put out of business if you serve the marriage industry. So there's got to be some kind of resolution with the religious freedom of people who are in legitimate businesses and those who want to run for political office.
These people in Kentucky had the right to go to another county and get the marriage license that they were requiring.
Did they have the right to go to that county? Did they have that right?
Not constitutionally.
But then they don't have the right in the other county either?
They had the right to go elsewhere. They had a freedom of choice.
And they chose that one.
They chose to persecute a committed Christian.
Yeah, I think that's not... we have differences of opinion on that willful persecution that you're suggesting.
Now, I grew up in Nebraska when alcohol was not available in Lancaster County. The people on Sundays, that is. On Sunday, they went to different counties to get their beer.
All right. Thank you, Doug. We've got to get to some other callers.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Okay. And we're going to go to Jim. You've got religion on the line.
Hi, guys. I wanted to ask John Perk a question. John, aren't there still over at least 500,000 abortions in the country every year?
Well, there's more than 500,000. There's in excess of 1 million.
Excess of 1 million. Well, I don't think it was you who said it, but one of your colleagues said that in relation to immigration, this is a moral nation, or we're a moral people. I'm not sure how you can all claim that if we allow 1 million things like that to happen every year. I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Well, the rabbi wasn't referring to abortion. And I kind of agree with him that on a world stage, America has been a moral leader. What country went to war with their enemy in like World War II and then rebuilt the country and didn't subjugate them and dominate them, as opposed to the communists who go in and take over and dominate, or to Muslim regimes that dominate and force conversions and things like that. Our general default position in America has been to be one of the most moral countries in the world. And my fear is that we're starting to lose that we are disintegrating. We can't even define what is moral. We can't even define what life is. We have leaders who say it's above their pay grade. And if you can't define when life begins, then you're not going to be able to define when it ends. And you're not going to be able to figure out when to protect it. And this is the mess we're in.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. Well, I think we may have lost that high ground by allowing a million of the most innocent to be murdered every year. I don't see how we can excuse that.
Well, I don't either, because it's scientifically they're a human being. They got their own DNA. And the mother and the child should both be protected.
Jim, you and John obviously agree on this, and that's the purpose of this show, to create dialogue. Another piece of the dialogue that I've brought up fairly consistently in the past is that this is a nettlesome, very troubling issue for every person, and let us not think that some people are callous to this. This is the most divisive issue in our culture. It seems to have been that way forever, for a lot of people's lifetime. I still want to maintain, and I don't believe it's murder, and I don't believe that it's evil to have a person who's a victim of a rape have a DNC and to prevent that pregnancy that's a result of a horrible, evil violation come to term. But that is, and I'm not saying that the majority of abortions are that. Sure. I just want that right for a woman and a man or a family to still have that option.
Well, I think that reflects a certain amount of callousness. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, we thank you for your call.
Sure.
We have a comment from Chuck from West Virginia who's been listening. He says, the clerk of courts was thrown in jail for not obeying a federal law, which rightly supersedes a state law. However, the mayors of 200 sanctuary cities are not in jail for ignoring federal immigration law, and the governors of states that are allowing non-medical uses of marijuana are not in jail for disobeying federal law. He says that there seems to be a support of selective prosecution of citizens.
Interesting highlighting of, some would call it hypocrisy, certainly contradictions or conflict. Anyway, we need to go to Jeff. Jeff, you've got religion on the line.
Hi. I'm assuming that everyone on your group takes the authority of the Old Testament and or the New Testament to be what they believe in. And so my confusion is, there are two of you that seem to have the, or maybe I'm wrong in this, but that these two books, commonly called the Bible, do not prohibit homosexuality, and not only do not prohibit it, but they actually condone it. And I don't understand how you come to that position. And my second part would be, previous caller Mike, you never really answered him. He gave you many good reasons that a homosexual marriage was not a good idea, and there was no response to that after the break, which you said there would be. So those are my two points.
All right. Well, I agreed with Mike, so I'm off the hook.
Yeah, I know. I'm exempting you.
Okay.
Although I'd be glad to hear your opinion, too. I mean,
last week we went through this, and I listed six verses from included the Old and the New, and I don't see any blessing on same-sex marriage. And marriage between a man and a woman is an icon of the relationship of the bridegroom, who God calls himself, and the bride us. And so marriage between a man and a woman makes visible this invisible great love that God, who is different than us, wants to have communion and a marriage with each one of us. And so that's why I'm a great believer in marriage being this sacrament of God's great love for us. And the way he laid it out was between a man and a woman, where it's possible for a third person to proceed from their love. And for us as Catholics, that's an icon of the Holy Trinity, where the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And so if you redefine the meaning of marriage, then you won't see the invisible reality that God is Trinitarian.
And, you know, there's Protestants that would agree with you, but not on that basis, Mike. I mean, John, in terms of the validity of the Trinity, there are Jews that don't have anything to do with the Trinity, don't believe in it at all, that would also agree with you. So there's varying bases for arguing and teasing this out. No, Rabbi?
You know, it's interesting that I want to go back to some of the very interesting statements that you've made. First of all, about the authority of Jewish scriptures.
I apologize. hold on, Jeff. We've got to take a break. We've got to pay these bills, okay?
Sure.
All right, hold on. And we're going to be right back after these messages.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
Hey, remember physics in school? Ever use anything you learned? Well, now you can. A physicist created an equation to determine precisely how much ice you need to cool a 12-pack of beer. 10 pounds. Can you imagine this guy at home? Honey, I did it. What, teleportation? Intergalactic space travel? No, I know how much ice it takes to cool your beer. Great, honey. I'll wake the neighbors.
The Greg Knapp Experience. Weekday afternoons 4 till 6 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
When September rolls around in the U.S., it's back into the groove. Back to school, back to the office, after summer vacations. In school and beyond, how do you do your best without stress? Guests share their illuminating experiences on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, Sunday morning at 8:30 on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
I'm Tim McGraw, and I have a challenge for you. Nearly 30 million Americans have diabetes. Most have type 2 diabetes. I've seen firsthand how it impacts Americans from all walks of life. It's affected my family, friends, and fans. That's why I'm speaking out about how important it is for those living with type 2 diabetes to get their blood sugar under control. I'm encouraging all Americans to join me and challenge their family and friends with diabetes to get to their A1C goal. I've learned that about one-third of adults living with diabetes are not at their A1C goal, which can lead to serious health problems over time. Let's change that. If you have diabetes, take the challenge. Pledge to work with your doctor to set and reach your own A1C goal. Also, be sure to learn if you're at risk for low blood sugar and how to reduce that risk. I'm a strong believer in making healthy choices, and I want to help my family, friends, and others with diabetes do the same. Join me now at AmericasDiabetesChallenge.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Maybe it's time to take a fresh look at everything we thought we knew about landing a great job. For instance, what if phenomenal careers start at the middle school science fair instead of at the job fair? If being the captain of the robotics team means just as much on a college application as being captain of the football team? And if knowing the quadratic formula is every bit as important as knowing the right people? Well, the fact is, the jobs of the future will be heavily geared towards science, technology, engineering, and math. In other words, the future is STEM. More opportunities, better pay. And the road to these great jobs starts as early as middle school. So if you're a student, talk to your school counselor about STEM. If you're a parent, talk to your kids. Because the job you'll get in the future may very well depend on what you do today. A public service message from America's Navy.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Wounded Warrior Project provides these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So now it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Join us at findwwp.org.
This station brings you your favorite songs every day over the airwaves. Now, with RDO. That's R-D-I-O. Your favorite radio station is on the go, just like you are. Listen to this station live online, on your phone or laptop, wherever your day takes you. Go to RDO.com/live, and you'll hear this station plus thousands more for free. That's RDO.com/live. RDO. Music tuned to you, wherever you are.
I spend my days helping others. It's rewarding, just not always financially. So I got TIAA CREF. They were founded to help people like me meet our financial goals. They've got so many industry accolades, it's unreal. I like taking care of people. Sometimes that even includes myself.
Intelligent investing for the long term. Just what you'd expect from a company that's created to serve and built to perform. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA CREF Individual Institutional Services, LLC. This testimonial is an act of betrayal. Investing involves risk. Individual results will vary.
Hey, Kansas City, you're not in Congress. You have to learn to manage your money. The Dave Ramsey Show, now at a new time. Weekdays from noon to 2 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at 710 AM, 103.7 FM, KCMO Talk Radio. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple.
And Rabbi Zedek will be back next week, but thank you for being here this week, Rabbi. And we were talking with Jeff.
I just want to finish. Jeff has raised so many interesting issues. I just want to finish my point from my faith tradition's perspective. Number one is we believe that Jewish scriptures are the foundation of Jewish tradition and Jewish thought. But one of the interesting and beautiful things about Jewish tradition is that starting 2,000 years ago, they developed a interpretive tradition, and in many areas, what the Jewish scriptures say, the rabbis in later centuries reinterpreted things. And I think, and I know we're going to disagree on this issue, but among many contemporary, serious, thoughtful Jewish thinkers and interpreters, they argue that homosexuality, as it's understood in Jewish scriptures, is not the reality now, and that we need to look at homosexuality differently. I'm not going to get into whether that's right or wrong. I just want you to know when I speak about this issue, I'm just not pulling it out of the air. I'm basing it on my whole history of commitment to Jewish tradition as it's evolved over 2,000 years. So it's a little nuanced, and I really want you to understand it because I can tell you're someone who really wants to understand the various faith traditions that are being discussed. Does that make sense?
My only question then would be, when the original writings were made, what did homosexuality mean then that it doesn't mean now?
Well, that is an issue of biblical scholarship. Much of it had to do with relating to the acts of idolatry and paganism and cult prostitution, all kinds of various issues. And as rabbis understood the issue much later on, homosexuality today is not seen as that kind of choice of idolatry and things of that nature. We see it in a very different way in terms of psychological evolution of a person, in terms of many other things. And we can't get into all those issues. But I think faith traditions have a right to evolve. And you and I might disagree on that. And that's fine, but I want you to know that you can be loyal to the text, as we all are, because the Bible is so sacred in from God. But you can also understand that we as human beings interpreted over 2,000 years, and I think that's good, and I think that makes sense within Judaism, and I'm not going to comment about what it means in other faiths.
And Jeff, the Bible is a live document. Is something that I would emphasize, and that there are multiple sources of authority. Jesus says nothing about homosexuality in the New Testament, and that would be our highest authority. So then we have all kinds of stuff where we have to interpret. And
no,
that's a nettlesome...
That's not to say that the New Testament doesn't speak to it, though.
No, but we would say within the New Testament, where does a loving relationship between people of the same gender get described? It doesn't. And I think that that is true. There are comments about acts of homosexuality, and Paul condemns them. There's about six references in the entirety of the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, together for Protestants. That's excluding the Apocrypha, which Catholics also include. And I don't know how many other references there would be in the Apocrypha, but within the 66 books of the Protestant Bible, 39 Old Testament, 26 in the New Testament, there's only six that reference this. What we would say from a Protestant moderate point of view or progressive point of view, and that there's a range of Protestant interpretations, all the way from condemning any homosexual act to even condemning homosexuality, period, as something that can even be cured, to a progressive moderate point of view that says new occasions teach new duties. And we're in this transition moment in the history of the world where we are trying to understand how do two people who love each other secure, experience, express the same rights as other people. We have a privilege in this country that nobody is taken out to the public square and killed if they're ever encountered or understood to be homosexual, which in some other places in the world does happen. That's one of the things I'd also want to point out.
Now, in the Old Testament, Jesus does refer to choosing celibacy for the kingdom as a relationship between brothers and...
You mean in the New Testament?
In the New Testament, as a call, as a way of life. And that our tradition has monasteries and convents where people can professionally do that. But individually, Jesus calls us to a better plan, and that is communion or marriage with God himself, where God is capable of satisfying a person their whole life without being married, because they're married to the Creator rather than to the creature. Okay. St. Paul refers to this.
It seems to me the progressive position is that basically there is nothing that is absolute. It's only as we interpret it in our modern thinking, which to me is the same. Reminds me of the verse, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And I don't understand why we think we're smarter now than when these prohibitions and so forth commands were given originally.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for your call. And do you have enough coasters?
I've got one set. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your call, Jeff. Well, we've come to the end of our time together this morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed
Temple.
And
along with Rabbi Zedek, we are all glad to say this morning, always, God bless.